is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Massive Breakdown Podcast, episode 232. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We're going to be breaking down the rapid-fire pulse rifles, which it's kind of a last-minute thing. I know we said we were going to do Prophecy, but the reason we want to do Prophecy is so we could do Darkest Before. But then Jurassic Green came out, which is a remake of Lincoln Green, and we started talking about it, and we were like, you know what? Let's just break down all of the rapid-fire pulse rifles, because it is a class of weapon that has really made a splash this season. It's making its way into the meta. Seems to be getting more popular as time goes on. So we're going to be breaking down, I believe there's four of them that you can currently use in light level enabled content. So we're going to talk about those, and then we'll do Prophecy next week. And I think we've already got the week after that schedule. We'll do Vault of Glass the week after that. So you have a lot to look forward to. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercury, joined tonight by Kit Katcha. How are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, to be completely honest, I have had a hell of a week. And not in like the good way. I'm dealing with some personal news right now that I'll probably post about on Twitter at some point, when I know more about how things are going to play out. But yeah, it's, I don't want to say it's like overwhelmingly bad, but it's certainly very surprising. I'm gonna leave that there for people to wonder about. Let's just say that I'm off my game this week.
Well, yeah, when you get news like that, it could definitely throw anyone off their game. I don't think anyone will judge you for it once they figure out what it is. But I think we both might be a little bit off today. I don't know if you guys can tell if my voice quality sounds any different, but let me tell you a story about how shitty fucking Logitech is. And they forced me to download a new software, which was supposed to control my mic and offer me better options than the Blue microphone software, which I had. Little did I know that when they forced me to download that software, it updated the firmware on my mic, and I can now no longer use Blue software with my mic. I can only use the Logitech software. Well, spoiler alert, today, and it also didn't save any of my presets, so I had to rebuild all of my presets from scratch. And then today, Logitech's shitty-ass G-Hub software decided to auto-update and brick itself. So now my G-Hub software has bricked itself. Reinstalling does nothing. And I cannot go back to the Blue software. So I no longer have any mic control software. So I'm just using the base preset, or I'm controlling it through my recording software, which is like the equivalent of Audacity, which is extraordinarily limited. So if my audio quality is much worse this time, it is because Logitech is incredibly user unfriendly in their business practices and has totally shafted me. So yeah, I think we're both a little tiny bit salty today.
Yeah.
And not a Destiny for once.
No, it's completely unrelated. I've been sitting here, you know, 20 minutes prior to recording, listening to you trying to get this to work. I mean, ultimately, like, I feel like you're just going to have to probably, like, completely wipe it and rebuild. But yeah, not tonight, not for this episode. Let's move away from the bad news.
From the negative energy.
Yeah.
Leave the bad juju behind.
Let's.
It's a lightweight pulse rifle and nobody uses those.
Let's step into another world here. The world of Destiny weapons. A world that can only make us happy.
That's optimistic of you.
It is, right? So let's go there and let's talk about some things that actually can only make us happy. Let's say thank you to some people, because that always cheers me up. So we've got three new patrons this week. So I want to give some big, warm, Massive Breakdowns welcomes to the following three. Malefic Torment, thank you. Cake Pug, excuse me, thank you. And Linksy, thank you so much. I hope we see all three of you active in the Discord, or at least lurking, if that's your speed. I hope we see you out in the game. And thank you so much for your generosity in joining the patron crew. We really appreciate it. Be sure to at least drop in and say hi in the patrons lounge. Speaking of, we also have, you know who they are, the usual bunch of suspects. Big shout out to our sponsors. These Guardians are incredibly generous to the podcast. They keep us going month in and month out on a level that, honestly, we put out there half as a joke. You know, it's a little bit like aspirational, a little bit like, well, they say to do this, so I guess we'll just do what they say. And you know, these Guardians just came and they blew our minds, and they keep doing it. So here they are. Without further ado, thank you so much to Starscream S13, The Shazzle, Conquer King 420, Askian Monk, Deacon, Black Hammer Tech, Binary Wolf, A Solitary Bird, and Zenso Cal. We call this level the 9, and there are 9 of them. They are so generous. If you see them in the Discord with that bright orange sponsor text for their names, please be kind, say thank you, appreciate them. They are going above and beyond for the podcast, and it means so much, as does the generosity of all of our sponsors, who you'll see in Discord with that bright gold or bright yellow text. They are all incredibly generous to us, month in, month out. Some for years now have been generously supporting this podcast, bringing it to you every week without any advertisements or corporate sponsors or funny powders. And we deeply appreciate the fact that they have made this something that is going to continue for a very, very long time. And that is, you know, truly financially listener supported in every sense of the word. So thank you so much to everyone who's pledged support. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to you to say thank you to another type of listener who goes above and beyond. Doesn't just tune in, yeah, but take some action.
Yep. Other way to help us out is to leave us a review on wherever it is that you listen to the podcast. We have not really a new review. I don't really know how to do this, but Big Pogger getting a shout out for the third week in a row. left us a review 2 weeks ago. Somehow his review got changed, and we mentioned it last week, and then this week he deleted that old review and he left us another review. He says 5 stars. Yeah, I have no idea what happened. I would never give this podcast a 1 star. I don't know what happened. I looked at the review and I remember giving it a 5 star. Also, the Star Wars versions are amazing. So thank you, Big Pogger. I think you are the only person outside of the sponsors who's ever gotten a shout out 3 weeks in a row. So congratulations for that. We appreciate it. Remember, if you guys are out of the United States and you leave us a review and you want it read out as soon as you do it, really the only way to do it is you gotta let us know on Twitter or Discord, because the international reviews only update like once a month, I think. And I saw a couple of reviews come in because I can see the number go up, but I can't actually read the review. So just hit me up with those in Discord or wherever it is, and we'll get them read out. Or you could just wait. You know, they say that anticipation makes everything better. So maybe just a couple of weeks down the road and you'll have forgotten about it, and you'll get a nice little surprise Friday morning when you listen to the show.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, just patience. Patience is always virtue. But if you don't want to wait, slide into our DMs.
And we have miraculously finished the housekeeping in sub 10 minutes. That is great. I'm always happy when we do that. So yeah, this week, rapid fire pulse rifles. They've been kind of teetering on the edge for a little bit. We got Time Worn Spire. And I think when we did the breakdown of Time Worn Spire a few seasons back, we were like, this is a pretty good gun. Like, with the right roll in the right hands, this is a really strong weapon.
Yep.
And I don't know that a ton of people necessarily believed us. It also doesn't help that Iron Banner is notoriously difficult to target farm rolls in.
It is.
And then we got Grid Skipper. And we said the same thing about Grid Skipper. We're like, Grid Skipper's pretty darn good. Like, actually really good. Very, very good. And it spiked in usage a little bit. It actually made its way into the top 100. It started creeping up the charts a little bit. But I think after the newness wore off, people kind of, you know, reverted back to the mean and went back to the hand cannons. And then we got Darkest Before. And Darkest Before was really good. And Darkest Before has made its way firmly, firmly into the top echelon of weapons used in the Crucible. And then, as if we needed any more hints from Bungie that they really, really want us using rapid-fire pulse rifles, they use Jurassic Green, which is a dinosaur-themed remake of Lincoln Green, which if you guys will remember from years and years ago, Lincoln Green was actually my favorite weapon in year one of Destiny. It was Lincoln Green with double counterbalance mods on armor. That was how it used to be done. Those were those dark days. But that was my favorite weapon. I put nearly, I want to say 6,000 or 7,000. Maybe it's not that much. I'll have to look it up. But I put more than 5,000 kills on that Lincoln Green back in year one, vanilla D1, which I feel like was a struggle, struggle for everyone. So I'm actually really excited to talk about rapid fire pulses. They're an archetype that's near and dear to my heart, and I'm happy to see them getting a little bit of love.
Yep, absolutely. And I think every one of these guns that we're going to talk about has something about it to like. And some of them more than others, certainly. But I'm very excited to talk about them. This is an archetype that I find myself coming back to time and again. And with the right rolls on the right weapon, it can be a lot of fun. And also actually effective. When you can combine those two things, you can have a really good time in Destiny. So without further ado, let's dive into these weapons. Do we want to, how do we want to start? Do we want to start by revisiting the oldest first, save the new hotness for the finale?
No, I actually think we should probably,
give the people what they want. Oh my goodness.
Front to back and do Jurassic Green first. That way everybody who doesn't want to hear about the old ones or who remembers our Time Worn Spire and Grid Skipper breakdowns can skip them. But I think we should go newest to oldest.
There's some listener love right
maybe
there.
Maybe I'm shooting myself in the foot because now people are going to bounce out like 20 minutes into the episode, but that's all right. You know, people will stick around because it has been, you know, we will probably have updated these reviews a little bit considering that the meta has almost entirely changed from the last time we talked about this stuff. But yeah, so Jurassic Green, it is a solar pulse rifle. Is a 540 RPM. That means the optimal TTK is 0.8 seconds, which is pretty good. That's like, as far as TTKs go, that's just, how do I say this? Like, it's not fantastic. It's not 0.73 seconds like an aggressive pulse rifle or 0.67 seconds like the Messenger. But it's not 1 second like Hung Jury. So, you know, it's kind of pretty close to the middle there, a little bit above average.
And one thing I want to just mention is that these are weapons that benefit considerably from damage boosts. Because they're putting a lot of bullets out there, those damage boosts can have a really meaningful impact on the time to kill. So high energy fire is a direction that I would go with all four of these weapons. Just, you know, since we're talking time to kill right at the outset, something to consider there is leaning into that damage buff, because when you have it up, it's going to be spicy. I mean, let's give the numbers now, right? High energy fire is going to drop that optimal from 0.8 to 0.67 with 7 shots. It's going to be all crits, so it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, but the super forgiving TTK, 0.73 seconds with 5 crits and 3 bodies, which is easily achievable. And that's quite fast.
Yep. And it also drops the body time to kill down. The default body time to kill is 1.4 with 14 shots. Pretty abysmal. Pretty unlikely that you're going to be alive at the end of that gunfight.
And also pretty unlikely that you're going to hit that TTK. Yeah. There's no way you miss every single crit for almost 5 bursts.
I would be shocked, but you know, anyways, high energy fire is going to take it down to 1.13. And so that's true of high energy fire or 2 stacks of rampage on any of these weapons that have rampage. 2 stacks of multi-kill clip is going to have a pretty similar effect.
I mean, 1 stack of multi-kill clip is going to have a great effect. You really only need, I mean, and most of these.
So one, you're truthfully, right. 1 stack will do the same thing. Yep, it will.
Yeah. So stat-wise for Jurassic Green, which I love that name, by the way, not great. And that's actually going to be the biggest downside. I know people are hyping this gun up a lot, and it's because it's in a pretty good archetype. Stat-wise for the archetype, Jurassic Green is a little on the weak end. And by a little, I mean quite firmly planted on the weekend. There's really only one roll of Jurassic Green, in my opinion, that makes it a worthwhile gun. And we'll talk about it when we get there. But the range is 34, which is pretty bad, even for rapid fires. And we'll even go so far back as we'll compare Claws of the Wolf and Horror's Least, which are two previously available rapid fires, because there's only four of them that are currently available right now. So for better comparison's sake, we'll use six. 34 is not great. The lowest you get out of any rapid fire is 33, I think, with Time Worn Spire.
Yeah.
But Time Worn Spire has optics, has sight options, and can get higher zooms. So Time Worn Spire kind of saves itself there. Jurassic Green does not. It has the base zoom of 1.7 times, which is, you know, low compared to some of the other weapons. And then at the same time, like, you had things like Outlast from Reckoning had 43 base range. Darkest Before has 41 base range. Grid Skipper has 40 base range. That's not optimal for range, which is still, you know, it's a pulse rifle, right? So the base range is still like 30 meters. You know, it's the difference between like 30 and 35 meters, but it's 30 meters. So it's not like it is only able to be used in SMG distance. It is still a pulse rifle, but you will be handedly outclassed by pretty much any other pulse rifle. And that's dangerous because now Messenger is very, very prevalent in the meta. And so you may be thinking, well, you know, it might not have great range, but hopefully it has great stability. And you would be wrong. It also has terrible stability. So 47 stability. The only one that's worse than it was the old Claws of the Wolf at 45. Darkest Before has 53, Outlast had 53, Grid Skipper has 52. So it doesn't have great stability there. And you'd be thinking, well, maybe the handling is good. And you'd be wrong there too. The handling is 27, Darkest Before is 34, Outlast is 36, Grid Skipper is 34. Now Claws of the Wolf is down at 29 and Horror's Lease is actually down at 22. So it is actually not the worst. It's a little bit closer to the middle, but it's still not great. Reload speed is actually pretty bad at 34. Darkest Before is 42. Outlast 38. Grid Skipper 42. Time Worn Spire is 37. So even that one's a little bit above it. The aim assist is good, but it's misleading because all rapid fires have great aim assist. The range for rapid fires goes from 75 to 82. So they've all got great aim assist. This one has 76. So it's even still towards the low end of that. And then recoil direction, this is actually, in my opinion, the biggest red flag. The recoil direction is 50, which is so bad that even with Arrowhead Break, you're only at 80, which is not even great. Like, Grid Skipper has 55, so at least with Arrowhead Break, you're at 85. Darkest Before has 64, so with Arrowhead Break, you're at 94. 50 is pretty horrible. And then the magazine size is 36, which rapid fires only have 33 or 36, so it's at 36.
Yeah. I mean, the big takeaway here is that stat-wise, compared to its peers, this is the worst that you can do. And, you know, part of that doesn't surprise me because it's from a promotional event. It's going to be, I think, relatively easy for people to farm. The history, I feel like, of weapons that come from events like Festival of the Lost and The Dawning is pretty mixed at best. You know, we got guns like Avalanche, which was just an awful version of a much better gun. And so I feel like Jurassic Green is very much following in the spirit of Avalanche, and that it's in the right archetype. But the stats are just not good. So you're going to need some help from your perks to make this gun all that it can be. And even then, you're going to want to listen closely to the breakdowns of the other guns that we're going to talk about today, I think. Because if you like Jurassic Green, well, have we got some weapons for you to consider?
Yeah. I mean, sheesh, I'm trying to think here. Perks for me, it's really hard for me to say no to Arrowhead Break in the barrel. And I know that when you played with Grid Skipper, you felt like the recoil was, despite being horizontal, was basically flat enough that you didn't need the recoil direction. But well, at 50...
Recoil direction, though, is one of those funny things, right? So 55 is actually a pretty good number for recoil direction.
Because it ends in 5.
Yeah, it ends in 5. It ends up being relatively vertical. Jurassic Green at 50 is, I mean, it ends in 0. It's the worst possible number to have. Honestly, I would rather not have Arrowhead break and just throw like a counterbalance mod on if the recoil truly bothers you that much. That's the direction I would go.
Which it probably will, because it's going to be very horizontal and very spaced out. Yeah, I mean, you might be onto something. A counterbalance mod and chambered compensator is going to get you to 75. I would generally take 75 over 80.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the obvious problem there is you've given up your mod slot, right? So not that a ton of people use Icarus on pulse rifles, but it is an option. You've got no Icarus. You've got no targeting mod, which a targeting mod... You may say, well, it already has high aim assist, but you can never take too much aim assist on these rapid fires. So no targeting mod, you know, yeah, I would probably still end up doing that, which is a shame because to me, that's one of the weak points compared to some of these other weapons is that I don't need to use up my mod slot just to get to feel good.
Yep. And it does lag behind an aim assist as well, right? It's at 76. You know, we've got other weapons at 79, 80, 82. So it's unfortunate, but I think, honestly, that is likely to end up being the best way to play it for most people. That said, as always, try it with the least, or worst recoil direction that your role has available, and then add as necessary, right? If you feel like you can handle that, you know, 50 or even, you know, 60 if you have chambered compensator, and you throw on a targeting mod and you like that better than the counterbalance mod, and try both ways. And, you know, Godspeed. But yeah, I think it's going to be very unpleasant to deal with if you don't have a counterbalance mod. I think the counterbalance mod is going to make it feel, you know, it's going to be kind of night and day, I think, in terms of how easy it is to handle. In the magazine slot, you know, we've got our old standby ricochet rounds. There's
really only that one option, which is pretty nice. You get stability, you get range, the two things it needs, you know, a lot of.
Yeah.
And you get both of them.
Very, very hard to say no to ricochet rounds. I feel like anything else is going to be a very distant second in terms of how good it would be.
Very distant.
Like armor piercing and high caliber, I guess if you have chambered compensator... Again, very distant second choices to ricochet. They're giving you less than half the stat points that you're getting out of ricochet. You know,
flared magwell, where you get less than half the stability, but you get at least a little bit of reload speed on it, which is nice because, you know, in the trait slots, thankfully they made it easy for us. There's really only one role that is the ultimate role for this gun. And it's because it makes up for the shortcomings the gun has. But in the first trait slot, like you look at it and you're like, oh, it's got tunnel vision. It's got heating up. It's got killing wind. It's got threat detector. And I know that Ivan in the Discord was really preaching the benefits of threat detector when paired with a shotgun for a heavily aggressive play style. It basically gives you like, you know, free quick draw whenever anyone's close by you, which is exactly when you need it when you're swapping to a shotgun. So I understand what he's getting at there. The problem that I have with Jurassic Green is that you look at what you would assume is like the best role, which is chambered compensator, extended barrel, ricochet rounds, tunnel vision, multi-kill clip. And you're like, man, that sure is a great role. And then you look at the fact that Grid Skipper can roll that exact same role, but is just better in every stat across the board and has additional zoom. And it's in the same slot.
Yeah.
So it's like, head to head, Grid Skipper is better in every way, has more zoom, can roll the same perks and doesn't require you to burn a mod slot on this. So it's hard for me to recommend that. I think really the only thing you can kind of go for is rangefinder, because rangefinder is going to jump your zoom up. It's actually going to put it over a little bit over 18. I think it's closer to like 18 and a half or something, or a little under 19. Rangefinder is going to jump your zoom up, which is going to push your range out, which is going to constrain the recoil. It's going to make it a little bit more stable. And to me, I think that's kind of close to the only option that matters, because every other way you cut it, if you get a different perk, you might as well just use like Grid Skipper or Darkest Before and have a gun that stat wise is better and has the same perk options.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree. And it's frustrating to say that, because that first trait slot is basically, I mean, it's like 90% good in PvP. All of those perks are completely viable. And I probably wouldn't necessarily, if this is the rapid fire pulse that you have and you don't get rangefinder, but you get killing wind or heating up or tunnel vision or even threat detector, if you happen to run, you know, a shotgun, as something like 50% of the player base does, you're in good company. Those are all fine, right? I would not shard it solely based on that. But rangefinder is going to do more for you in terms of winning gunfights, because it's going to make sure your bullets get there and deal full damage. It's going to constrain your recoil, like you said. It's doing so much. And then in the final column for PvP, I feel like multi-kill clip is the only choice.
Yeah.
The rest of those perks are, I think, solid choices perhaps for PvE. I'm not a big fan of rapid fire pulses in PvE. I just don't feel like they hit hard enough. And I feel like I end up burning ammo.
But sure. There's a good role. You can get subsistence dragonfly though.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty fun ad clear for like not in-game PvE content.
Or subsistence frenzy works similarly in terms of being able to take out large groups of ads without having to reload.
I think frenzy is actually the better option too for PvE, for like in-game PvE. If I've learned anything from being told I was wrong in Discord, yes, it's that frenzy is actually the better option, because you're not killing stuff, but you're doing damage for long periods of time.
Yes. Doing damage or taking damage. It totally has the perks to use it in PvE. I don't feel like it's an optimal choice for most situations, but, you know, it's PvE, so use what you love. I feel like that's Jurassic Green in a nutshell. To recap, your choice of a counterbalance mod or a targeting adjuster. Would recommend trying it both ways. Suspect you'll like the counterbalance mod. Chambered compensator, ricochet rounds, rangefinder, multi-kill clip for PvP.
You could also do some wiggle extended barrel particularly if you're on mouse and keyboard, the stability doesn't really matter as much for you. Extended barrel will get you the same plus 10 to recoil direction, but it's actually going to jump your effective range quite a decent amount, almost a meter and a half, which is a pretty big jump.
Yep. I would definitely say that's a viable option, even on console, if you have rangefinder as well. I think rangefinder with full bore is probably playable.
Not full bore, extended barrel.
Extended full barrel. Is, yeah, never mind.
Full bore, definitely now.
Extended barrel. Yeah.
And it's not like the other roles, like Kutch mentioned earlier, it's not like a tunnel vision multi-kill clip or a heating up multi-kill clip. It's not like those are bad roles.
Yeah.
It's just, if you have that role, you might as well target farm a grid skipper, which is pretty easy to target farm. You might as well target farm a grid skipper, get the exact same role and have better stats and better zoom.
Preview.
And so that's kind of what we're saying.
Preview for later in the episode.
Yeah. So I guess that's Jurassic Green. So not terrible, right? If you don't have another rapid fire pulse, it's a very easy one to get, and you're pretty likely to get a good roll. So definitely give it a shot. But what I would say is, if you like Jurassic Green, you're probably better off investing in either running the Prophecy Dungeon or doing Override or even playing Iron Banner, although Iron Banner, good luck to you in getting a great Time Worn Spire, because the chances of that, I feel like, are almost nil. But yeah, use it like a sample platter for rapid fires. And if you like it, but you're like, I could do a little bit better if I had a better gun, then there are better guns out there, which we're going to talk about. Next one up, Darkest Before. God, is this not just one of the best looking weapon models? I love the Trials of the Nine weapon models. I wish so badly that they were coming, that they were all back.
I used Darkest before quite a bit in PvP back in the early, like the first year and a half of Destiny 2. I was a huge fan of this gun. It's gorgeous. It felt good then. And now it's got a full perk set. So I'm pretty excited about this one.
If we're talking stats, the stats are definitely a fair bit better than Jurassic Green. The range is 41, which is on the higher end for rapid fires, while still being obviously low for all pulse rifles in general. Stability is 53, again, on the higher end, actually the highest end for rapid fires. The handling is 34, above average, wouldn't say it's the highest. Outlast actually has it beat by 2 at 36. Reload speed is 42, that is the highest for rapid fires. Aim assist is 75. That's actually the lowest for rapid fires, but 75 is still a shit ton of aim assist, so don't sneeze at it. Recoil direction is 64. That is a great number for recoil direction. That's what you want to look for. Magazine size is 36. So if we're talking Darkest before, Arrowhead Break is going to put you right to 94 in terms of aim assist, which is basically perfect aim assist. So or not aim assist, sorry, recoil direction.
Yep.
It's basically perfect recoil direction. So if you are interested in that, I would definitely run that. I personally, a lot of times, like, recoil direction just makes things so easy, especially on controller, where you do have more recoil, you can just hold it down. But at the same time, if you get something like chamber compensator, if you get something like extended barrel, you're going to be at 74. And that's right around the mark where usually if I have that, I'm like, okay, that's good enough. I can leave it there. You know, I'll never say no to having 94. But if I've got 74 and I'm getting some stability or some range out of it, I'm probably pretty okay. I'm definitely not putting a counterbalance mod on it.
So I'm going to come out and just say, I think 64 is probably high enough to play with this. Now, I tend to be much more comfortable playing with worse recoil than some people. I think part of that is I started early on trying to get myself used to manually controlling the recoil, and now I'm just used to it, and so it doesn't always occur to me to even worry about it. Certainly if it's really bad, obviously I'm going to want to try to control it, but I think if you put enough range and stability into this gun, the recoil is probably fine. So I wouldn't be at all sad to see a small bore roll. Depending on if I had a range, I guess we should mention Masterworks, you're going to want to favor either range or stability, depending on what you get in your barrel and magazine slots. I generally try, I think, on these weapons, I like to get close to 70 stability. I feel like they start to feel pretty good around there, and then I want to put more points into range. Because they suffer in both slots. So if you can get them relatively close to even, both above 60, I feel like you're in a good place.
It's one of the things, like, you're not going to be upset if you have,
yeah,
you know, if you have 55 range and 70 stability,
yeah,
like, you're not really going to be upset.
I'm totally
but
happy
at the same
with that.
Time, I also wouldn't be upset with like 45 range and 80 stability. Because, you know, stability is nice. It's just you're going to have to be more aware of your engagement distances.
Yeah.
You know, if you have, let's say you have 54 range, well, your engagement distance is about 33 meters, right? So halfway in between their base and where the Jurassic Green is sitting with rangefinder. If you don't go with that much range, then you're probably closer to around like 31 meters, which is a good bit lower, but not the worst range ever. Anything outside of 30 meters, right? Like, you are all but fucking Vex Mythoclast, all but the most rangy of auto rifles you're kind of leaving behind. Sidearms, SMGs, outside of Shiras and some weird, you know, ultra hardcore range rolled Shiras can get out there, but most of them can't. And really, honestly, when you start pushing past 35, like, what territory are you entering? You're entering messenger territory, you're entering high range hand cannon territory, and do you really want to be competing with that? Some people say yes. Some people, that's why they like these, is they max the range on them and they want to compete with high range hand cannons and with messengers. Personally, I think it's a little bit more fun to operate inside of those distances, but you know, that's just me.
You know, one of the things that I like about these guns strategically is if you can kind of push in a little bit on people who are using hand cannons or messengers, it can make it much harder for them to track you when you're in a little bit too close for comfort for them, but still not close enough that they're going to switch to a special weapon. They're going to try to gunfight you, but you've got, because your zoom is lower and just the sight pictures on a lot of these guns make it very easy to fight in those ranges. So they're really like the 120 hand cannons, I feel like, get unwieldy when people get too close. High impact pulses, the same. They feel unwieldy when you're trying to track a target that's too close. And a lot of that has to do with just the way the stats are built on those guns. They're intended to engage at a certain distance. And when you're just inside that comfort zone, you can throw them off and you can beat them. So
you guys got to remember the way the aim assist cones work is a gun has a sweet spot for its aim assist cone, where the aim assist cone is at its widest, and that's its sweet spot for range. And as you increase zoom and stuff like that, as you increase range, those cones, as you increase zoom, the cone narrows, right? So if you can get inside of the sweet spot against other weapons, they are going to have a harder time hitting you if they're relying on aim assist. What makes Darkest Before and the other rapid fire so strong right now is that their biggest competition are hand cannons and are messengers, both of which are very slow firing guns that are very punishing of missed shots. Whereas something like Darkest Before is a very fast firing gun. It deals a lot of flinch. It's not nearly as punishing of missed shots, right?
Yeah.
So what you can do is if you hit someone a bunch while they're shooting you and you manage to flinch them off, if you flinch them off one shot, their TTK drops substantially on either messenger or on a hand cannon. And that's a huge win for you, because even if they flinch you off one shot, your TTK doesn't drop nearly as much. You can recover much more quickly than they do.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you know, that's why, where these guns have such a good strength, is that I can go up against a 140 hand cannon user, and I know that if I make them miss one shot, there's a pretty good chance that I'm gonna win that engagement, right? I think that's kind of why these are coming in as like a little, almost an anti-meta choice, where if you're frustrated with the messengers, if you're frustrated with palindromes, if you're frustrated with ace of spades, this might be a good option for you, but you do need to be aware that if someone's 45 meters down a hallway, it doesn't matter how much range you stack into this thing, it's not going to help you. Like, you're going to get outranged. You just, again, I said it earlier, but you have to be conscious of your engagement distances.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So a little bit of an aside there, let's dive back into Darkest Before. So again, you know, Masterworks, and this is going to be true for all of them, ranger stability, just depending on what you end up with in magazine and barrel. Hopefully your magazine is going to be ricochet rounds. That is just always far and away the best choice on these guns, as it is on so many guns. One of these days they're going to take it away from us. It's going to be a sad day. So I like, honestly, I feel like it's difficult for me to say that there's really a bad barrel here aside from full bore. I'm not a big fan of fluted barrel, unless you're trying to spec into handling so that you can swap, but there's quick draw on this gun. So that's, you know, I guess kind of different. Some different choices there. And if you're trying to swap to it or swap from it, if you want to swap to it, quick draw. If you want to swap from it, handling. So yeah, and surplus as well, can definitely allow you to play into that. Other than full bore, all of the barrels I think are fine. If you can pair them up with a good masterwork that just sort of complements them. So that's where I'd be looking there is how do they play with the masterworks? And if you care a lot about recoil, which is totally valid, then yeah, you know, maybe you want to look for chambered comp or an extended barrel or even an arrowhead break. I prefer to try and have like a targeting adjuster in the mod slot. I don't play these aerially. I don't think they're good in the air. So that's kind of where I'm falling on the front half of the gun.
Yeah, and obviously we talked about but ricochet rounds and the mag is really the only option. So
yeah,
just ricochet rounds and move on. Now, what's interesting about Darkest Before is I actually think it's probably the best Trials rapid fire pulse. I say that because it's not really built. It's not a great sixes rapid fire pulse. It has a lot of perks that make the gun feel better. And that's really, really important in Trials where it's all about winning your ones. It's less important in sixes where a lot of times it's about chaining kills and kill streaks. It does not have multi-kill clip. The only damage boosting perk it has in the last slot is Rampage. It also has one for all, but that's a useless perk in PvP. Rampage, honestly, it does a bit for the gun. It definitely benefits from it. But I feel like if you're looking for a PvP sixes Iron Banner style rapid fire, you might be better off just going with Grid Skipper and get the Tunnel Vision multi-kill clip. So for this one, what I'm actually really intrigued with is the ability to make it probably the best feeling rapid fire pulse out there. And it's really not even close. In the first trait slot, Surplus, one of the rare times I'm probably actually going to recommend it really, really highly. Now, it's not going to work great for me, which is unfortunate because I'm burning my abilities all the time. But if there's one thing that this gun can really benefit from, it's extra stability and extra handling and extra reload speed, because the rapid fires kind of don't have great stats across the board in those. And if you're a player who sits on their abilities or saves them for just the right time, you're going to get massive bonuses to stability, handling, and reload speed. And it's going to make this gun feel like a dream.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think Surplus pays big dividends on Darkest Before. The only other perk that I'm really, really into for this weapon is that it has Tunnel Vision, which is obviously it's a good perk. But I think you get more out of Tunnel Vision on some of the other guns. Slide Shot, I think, is a very strong choice on Darkest Before. If you can pick it up with Slide Shot and Rampage, I think you're in great shape. If you can pick it up with Slide Shot and Elemental Capacitor, if you happen to favor Void or Stasis, or if you like to run Arc and you want to pair Darkest Before with a shotgun, I think that puts you in a very good position to take massive advantage of that. So I think some super strong combinations are possible there. And obviously Surplus pairs incredibly well with Elemental Capacitor as well. You can max out your stability on Void. You can have just phenomenal recoil in combination with big stability, handling, reload speed, just all your stats getting pushed. So if you want to talk about the best feeling gun, I think Darkest Before can definitely go there.
Oh yeah, for me it's definitely Elemental Capacitor in that second slot, because on Hunter in particular, I'm either Stasis or I'm Void. And either way, I get massive benefits from Elemental Capacitor. I either get, you know, nearly plus 20 stability, I think it's plus 18 stability if I'm Void, which means I can get nearly 100 stability if I play my cards right. If I go Chambered Compensator, Ricochet Rounds, Elemental Capacitor, I've got almost 100 stability. I think I have 98 stability is where I end up at.
Phenomenal.
Which of course potentially frees me up to, I'm sorry, that was also with the Stability Masterwork as well. But, that frees me up to basically not care nearly as much about recoil direction, because it's going to be so stable that the bullets are going to be really, really tightly constrained, even if there is a little bit of horizontal wiggle, and I'm not going to care about it. Yeah, if I could get Slide Shot and Elemental Capacitor, I'd be a really happy camper. If you really are insistent on making like a sixes build out of it, you could run Subsistence and Rampage or Overflow and Rampage. But again, you get so much more of a benefit out of multi-kill clip on these rapid fires that I just don't feel like it's the best option. The same way I didn't really feel like Jurassic Green was the best option, if that's what you're trying to do. So for comparison, one stack of Rampage brings the TTK down, the optimal TTK down to 0.73 seconds, 7 crits, 1 body. Brings the accuracy adjusted TTK down to 0.8 seconds, or it keeps it at 0.8 seconds, but you can hit it in 5 crits, 4 bodies. Now, multi-kill clip, just a single stack on the other hand, optimal TTK, 0.67 seconds, 7 crits, 0 bodies, but the accuracy adjusted goes from 0.8 seconds with 5 crits and 4 bodies to 0.8 seconds, 4 crits, 5 bodies. Even easier, right? So you get more of a benefit on the optimal, you get more of a benefit on the accuracy adjusted. It actually has more uptime because you can time your reload. There's a little bit of a delay before you reload. Then you reload, you've got it during the reload and then after the reload. So you actually have way more uptime on multi-kill clip than you do on Rampage, which in sixes is important, right? Because you don't always necessarily want to go from one engagement to immediately engaging the next person within 3 seconds like you have to with Rampage. With multi-kill clip, you can space that out a good bit. So to me, I think that's better. But again, I'm looking at Darkest Before for a dueling, for a ones, for a trials, or for a comp rapid fire. And I don't think you're going to find a better feeling rapid fire than this one.
Yeah, I mean, I always want to remind people that Rampage spec is there. If you get a Rampage roll, everything else is perfect. Throw on Rampage spec, like go nuts. I think it's a very solid option to have. 4.5 seconds is a pretty good amount of time to find the next person. Rampage also, the one thing that it does better than any of the kill clip perks is it gives you an opportunity to pull off the 1v2. Right, you get that first kill, somebody else comes around the corner. Most of the time you're not prepared, but now you've got Rampage up. Getting that kill is going to be very easy for you, especially if they were not expecting you to be there and be pulling the trigger. I would say I always prefer Slideshot over Subsistence for sixes. I think you're going to get a pretty similar benefit in terms of reload from both of them, but Slideshot takes advantage. It happens when you're sliding, which you should be doing pretty regularly anyway. And then it gives you that nice big range and stability buff. You know, maybe it doesn't last all that long, but it only has to work a couple of times a match to be well worth it.
Well, it lasts the perfect amount of time to pair with Rampage because it lasts a little under 3 seconds, I think, and Rampage lasts 3 to 4.5 seconds, depending on what you've got. So it lasts the perfect amount of time to pair with Rampage. Slideways is definitely a top tier perk in that
option. Slideshot.
Sorry. I'm looking ahead to Grid Skipper, and Skipper has Slideways in that first trait slot. So I was reading that out. You're correct. Slideshot. Confusing nomenclature for these perks that do almost the same thing with one minor change.
The one last note I had on Darkest Before is if you do get Elemental Capacitor, you are running Stasis as your primary. Don't also use Arrowhead Break. Because that is an enormous waste. So just remember to look at what your perks do. Make sure that you don't have more recoil direction than you can fit into the gun.
You also don't really need Chambered Compensator or Extended Barrel. Like if you have Chambered Compensator and Polygonal Rifling, you might as well just go with Polygonal Rifling because, you know, then you don't suffer the handling penalty.
Exactly.
Elemental Capacitor gives you plus 20 to recoil direction. So you're going to be sitting at basically 85.
It's more than sufficient. Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyways, well, I guess we should probably move on to Grid Skipper. I know we've already done a breakdown of Grid Skipper in seasons past, but it's a good time to revisit it along with these other two. In my opinion, Grid Skipper is actually, how do I say this? Is it the best? For the way I play, I think it's the best. Yeah. It does have something the others don't, which is a higher base zoom. Both Darkest Before and Jurassic Green are at 1.7 times. Obviously, Jurassic Green has rangefinder. There is no way to increase zoom on Darkest Before, so you're stuck at 1.7. Grid Skipper, on the other hand, 1.8 base zoom, which just gives you basically an extra 2 meters of range, like for free. You literally don't even do anything. You just get an extra 2 meters of range, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Even if you compare it to like the rangefinder Jurassic Green ends up only having like a half meter more than Grid Skipper does. So I like Grid Skipper a lot. I think it's probably the best sixes rapid fire. We talked earlier about the like that perceived god roll on Jurassic Green of, you know, Chambered Compensator or Arrowhead Break. For me, you know, recoil direction, for you, stability, ricochet rounds, tunnel vision, multi-kill clip. Well, on Grid Skipper, it actually is. It actually is a great roll, and it's
ridiculous,
phenomenal.
Yeah, It's utterly ridiculous. You know, and honestly, I feel like on GridSkipper, I'm totally happy with either tunnel vision or heating up. They both are tremendous on this gun. You get that first kill, and the second kill just feels like easy street. The gun basically, like, you know, it's you just point in the right direction, and it figures it out for you. This is a weapon where they're really throwing, like, options at you in that trait slot in terms of, like, ways to get more accuracy. Because it also has firmly planted, which I'm not a fan of, because heating up and tunnel vision are phenomenally better, and infernally planted, I think, is just harder to play into. But it's there, you know? If you like to crouch and camp with your rapid-fire pulse rifles, then they have the perk for you. But yeah, heating up or tunnel vision paired with multi-kill clip is just ridiculously effective.
And just for shits and giggles, let's go over the stats, even though we've already told you it's better than Jurassic Green in pretty much every way. It has about 6 more range. The base range for GridSkipper is 39, not 40. So it has 5 more range. Man, 5 more range, 5 more stability, 7 more handling, 8 more reload speed, 4 more aim assist, 1 more zoom, 5 more recoil direction. Literally top to bottom, every stat compared to Jurassic Green is better than it.
Yeah.
And very near the top of the archetype range for pretty much everything. So
yeah, I feel like I am comfortable saying hands down, just looking at the stats, all around best rapid fire pulse is GridSkipper. Ignoring, you know, maybe you're chasing specific perks that might make another gun preferable to you. But just all around best base stats, hands down. I don't think you can put another one on the same level. Yeah, as much as we said Darkest Before's perks put it up on that level, you got to have the perks though.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a god-rolled Darkest Before with that slide shot, elemental capacitor, with everything that we said that makes it feel great, it's probably going to be the GridSkipper 1v1 in that situation. But if you drop both of them into Iron Banner and GridSkipper's role is powered up and it's doing what it does best, which is chain kills, the Darkest Before is going to feel great as it gets mowed down by a GridSkipper that has multi-kill clip active. So it's like, you know, they do different things. You can have a great role of both and you can swap between them depending on what activity you're playing in PvP. And you'll probably be pretty happy with both because, you know, one of them is going to have superpowered damage buffs and the other one's going to have superpowered stability and recoil direction. And it's going to feel phenomenal. So, you know, what barrel perks do we really need to talk about? It's the same archetype. I like Arrowhead Break. I like Chamber Compensator. I like Extended Barrel. You probably like the variants of all of those that just don't give you the recoil direction. So Hammer Forge Rifling, Polygonal Rifling, Small Bore, I would imagine, even Corkscrew Rifling potentially.
Yeah, completely. Honestly, the GridSkipper that I have masterworked is Hammer Forge Rifling, Ricochet, Heating Up, Multi-Kill Clip, Stability Masterwork, Targeting Adjuster. That's what I roll with. It's a monster. I might prefer tunnel vision to heating up just slightly, but not enough that I'm gonna write home about it.
Heating up lasts long enough that you can reload and have the last half of heating up still active while multi-kill clip is active. Yep. And it will actually work out just about to where they expire around the same time, whereas tunnel vision will actually be active a little bit after multi-kill clip expires. Now, it does have Slide Ways, which is not Slide Shot. Slide Ways gives you bonuses to handling and stability and reloads the magazine. So in my opinion, it's a little bit worse of the two. I would most of the time prefer range and stability to handling and stability. It does have moving target. I will give it that. It's got moving target. If you really want to, like, if you're like, no, gosh darn it, I'm going to go with a better feeling gun that is not Darkest Before, well, probably moving target and snapshot maybe is going to make it. It's going to feel pretty crisp, you know, and moving target and snapshot pair pretty well together. But I mean, to me, it's almost just like, well, but why?
I feel like, you know, it totally, it makes sense to me that you would go moving target, but then still want multi-kill clip, because multi-kill clip offers so much reward.
Right.
And, you know, you should get the opportunity, even if your teammates are like sprinting around the map shotgunning, you should get the opportunity to use multi-kill clip like one out of every two or three times that you reload after a kill. I get worst in sixes. So I think it's hard to put any other perk above it in any situation outside of trials. But yeah, moving target is strong. Absolutely. I did not mean to overlook it. Faster strafing, more aim assist.
Shoot, there's actually a bunch of
what's not to love.
Good perks. Heating up, killing wind, tunnel vision, all proc on kills.
Yeah.
All have enough duration to where you can reload and have a little bit of overlap with multi-kill clip going on, a couple seconds of overlap with multi-kill clip. All really strong, great for chaining. And then moving target's just there. It's like, well, even if you didn't get one of the ones that procs on a kill, moving target just always makes the gun feel better. So,
yeah, I guess I did actually overlook killing wind just because of the shininess of the new perks. But yeah, all four of those completely worth having. If you can pair it, I think the most important thing is that you get ricochet rounds, you get multi-kill clip. I don't care what barrel you have on that gun. It's going to be absolutely playable.
And you've got 4 out of 6 shots at a great perk and trait slot too, as long as you're not stuck with firmly planted or slideways. And firmly planted, you know, you can make it work, but it's just like
very good odds that you're going to end up with a 3 out of 4 perfect gun, which is as much as any Destiny player can really hope for.
I actually have about a half dozen grid skippers sitting in my vault right now. Only reason I'm not using any of these rapid fires is because I'm using Le Monarch right now, and I can't pair them with Le Monarch because they're all in the energy slot, which is unfortunate. But for the second, either Le Monarch gets nerfed or I decide that I finally want to stop basically cheating in PvP by using it. I've got a bunch of these just like sitting in reserve, a whole bunch of different roles. And I played with them a good bit in the season that they released, and I was like, man, these things are sweet. And I was like, I'm gonna save these for a rainy day.
What you got to do is you just got to pair it with a Time Worn Spire, right?
Yeah.
Just max range Time Worn Spire.
I wish that I could. I do not have a good Time Worn Spire role. I've gotten a number of drops and they've just been shit through and through. And it's really bumming me out because I very much would like a good Time Worn Spire, which I guess is a good transition to the Time Worn Spire and to giving that a shot. But man, you look at not necessarily how easy, but you look at how pleasant it is to farm Grid Skipper. And then you just get smacked in the face by Time Worn Spire and the farming process for that, which is basically like, play some Iron Banner. Good luck. You may or may not. You might play an entire week of Iron Banner and not see a single Time Worn Spire. Or you might see 10 of them, but they all have shit rolls because you can't focus them. So Time Worn Spire, though, has some real, real strengths to it. Some strengths that, in my opinion, actually put it potentially even above some of the others. I mean, this gun can easily be doing full damage out to 40 plus meters, which is crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah.
So I suppose we should talk stats, but the stats almost don't really matter. You know, it's a lot closer to Jurassic Green than it is to Darkest Before, Outlast, Grid Skipper. Those have very, very friendly stat profiles. These are old school. These are like D2 vanilla style rapid fire pulses, and they have the D2 vanilla style rapid fire pulse stat profile. So range is low at 33. Stability is okay at 54. Handling is at 33. Reload speed is at 37. Aim assist is at 79. Recoil direction is at 60. Mag size 36. So don't get me wrong. It's definitely not Jurassic Green, but it's also definitely not Grid Skipper when you compare the two.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like you mentioned, this gun has some interesting things going on with it. I ended up with a very interesting role that I goof around with, but is not really what I wanted out of it. I pulled an Iron Gaze, which tanks the range, but puts the aim assist at 99. I did manage to pair it with a +6 zoom scope. And I will tell you, that is not enough zoom for that range penalty.
Yeah.
But yep. But when they're in range, it's all crits.
Yeah. You literally can't miss. Hitbox so big, yeah. You can be aiming at their crotch and still getting headshots.
Unfortunately, it's SMG range, which is a subpar place to be right now. But let's talk about what you've got here. So you don't have barrels, you have scopes, which is the thing that makes the Time War, it's the first thing that makes the Time War Inspire stand out in a big way from the other guns. It's in the kinetic slot, which is also a big difference, but the scopes. So I have been playing a lot with the Rifle Scope ST, and I will say it is not too much zoom. I think it's fantastic.
Well, nothing is too much zoom anymore because they gave us Servant Leader, which has 2.6 times zoom. And if you can use Servant Leader, you can pretty much use anything because that's basically, I'm pretty sure that's as much zoom as like Lorentz Driver has, if not more.
Yeah, so that puts it up to 2.3, which seems like a lot. But honestly, I like the sight.
It's actually more zoom than Lorentz Driver, by the way. Lorentz Driver is 2.5 times.
It feels so
2.6 is Servant Leader, and 2.3, I think, is where Rifle Scope ST takes Time War Inspire to.
Yeah, I would go with either Rifle Scope, but I prefer the ST because what I want to do with this gun is lean into what makes it unique, just like we did with Darkest before, just like we did with Grid Skipper, just like we tried to do with Jurassic Green. Let's go with what makes this gun stand out from the other weapons. And the first thing is the scopes. A bunch of zoom, a bunch of range. I'm all about it. And then, I mean, ricochet rounds, just obviously. Like, what else am I going to pick?
Right.
Then we've got that first trade column. And it's got some choices in it. It's got slideways, which I like, which I'd actually be happy with. There's some room to negotiate, I think, in that first trade slot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got moving target, super solid choice as well. And it's got under pressure, which very, very easy to activate on this gun. Does leave you a little low on the magazine slot, so it's a little bit risky. Overall, my optimal choice is probably going to be moving target. That extra aim assist, outstrafe people, and take advantage of all that range that I already put into the gun with rifle scope and ricochet rounds to really clean up some kills at a ridiculous distance. So far, just what we've got, if we go with those three perks, we've got 67 range. Or I'm sorry, that's not right. 49 range.
Yeah.
The fourth perk gives it 67. Iron Reach is what I want to play with on this gun. I've played with Iron Gaze. I don't like it. It puts it into a bad zone. Even with the zoom at 2.3, you just can't hit shots at distance. And so I think I want to go completely the opposite direction and play with Iron Reach. It also has Iron Grip, which I think is the more conventional choice. +18 stability, -27 reload. Gives you crazy stability, leaves you with a solid range as well. But I feel like if you're going that way, you might as well be using a Darkest before or even a Grid Skipper.
Well,
Time Warn's not going to do anything different.
No, let me stop you there. It's going to do something very different, and that's the effective range. It can outrange Messenger.
True.
It can literally outrange Messenger if you use Rifle Scope ST.
Okay.
Your effective range, even without Iron Reach, is very nearly 45 meters with Rifle Scope ST and ricochet rounds. And if you cap that with moving target and something like Iron Grip, you are going to have a laser of a gun that, yeah, it's not necessarily going to feel as good as a Darkest Before does, but it's going to outrange Darkest Before by easily 10 meters, potentially more, right? Depending on how their roll is set up. So that's the way I'm going to do it. Iron Reach is going to kick that out to almost 50 meters, which I know it sounds like blasphemy, but in my opinion, that's almost overkill. Like, the only gun that's hitting you out there are scout rifles. Like, you're fucking around at DMT ranges at that point in time, which I know is super fun. The stability penalty, the zoom that you're going to get is not going to offset that stability penalty. I used an iron reach roll. It's bad. It's real uncomfortable to play with. I think on mouse and keyboard, you might be able to pull it off. On controller, I was like, ooh, do not like this.
Did you have a stability masterwork with it?
No, I did not. I just had ricochet rounds. I think I only had one stability perk and it wasn't enough. It basically was, it was not great. I think it probably
would need stability masterwork and a counterbalance mod.
It definitely needs a counterbalance mod. You have no other way to affect recoil direction.
It's bad. It's very bad.
Yeah. So you definitely, it's because it's 60. So you definitely need a counterbalance mod. So for me, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for moving target iron grip, because I want that aim assist, because I'm not able to get it through iron gaze. Cause like you said, and I agree, it's shit. You really do, even with the high zoom scope. So if you pair the highest zoom scope with iron gaze, you can be okay, right? Like, you can technically have a damage fall off useful range of almost 40 meters, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like your aim assist drops off a lot sooner than that. Cause I had that. I actually had an iron gaze high zoom scope one, and I gave it a shot and I was like, oh, okay, like, this is pretty neat. You know, gunsmith tells me my range is still going to be 40 meters. That's crazy. I might as well boost all the aim assist. Well, here's what we forget. The aim assist is already basically at 80, right? You kicking it up to 100, you feel little to no difference inside your aim assist window. But what you feel is the aim assist falling off really quickly outside of that window. And that does not feel good. So even though you have more aim assist, it falls off more quickly. I felt like I was actually effectively nerfing my aim assist where I wanted to be fighting with this gun, which is outside of the other rapid fire's ranges. Like, the whole point of having this gun was that I can outrange any other rapid fire pulse rifle and almost any other primary, because those high zoom scopes are crazy. And iron gaze to me just like totally negated that, or mostly negated that. And I was like, this is counterproductive to what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, very much. It's been a real disappointment, honestly. I thought it was going to be bad, but then I talked myself out of it. I was like, no, I'm going to hope for the best. This is going to be the sleeper most amazing roll ever. And it was not. It just was not. So yeah, I still want to give the Iron Reach a try. I would agree that Iron Grip is an incredible perk on this gun. And if you pair it with the high zoom scope and ricochet and just anything in that first trade slot. And you know what? I didn't math out the ranges and I missed that. So,
okay. We forgive you this time.
That's my bad. I didn't do the math on how that zoom was going to multiply it. So that's nuts. And Time Worn Spire is very much worth having. Unfortunately, it's impossible to properly farm, and your odds of getting a really good roll are just not great. So it's sort of one of those things where you kind of have to get lucky. And that's, you know, it's what it is. That's why we play Destiny, because we love pain.
I'm so upset with my Time Worn Spire rolls that I have. What's really bad is that I've saved four of them and I'm looking at them in my vault right now and they're all still so shit compared to what I want. I just like have not gotten, it's like kind of like how with Glacioclasm, like I have not gotten anywhere close. Oh, are you going to tell me that you have a delightful one just sitting in the vault that
you know what? I didn't even see this one drop, but apparently I did. And I put it in my vault. I forgot I had it. I've got a rifle scope, SSF, ricochet rounds, slideways, iron grip. I'm going to use that.
I don't even have one with a long zoom scope.
All of mine actually have long zoom scopes.
Well, aren't you lucky?
Isn't it nice? Apparently I am.
I'm just going to go back to my vault and count my grid skippers and laugh maniacally, because at least I have a bunch of great grid skip.
There you
go.
Rolls. There you go. I am okay with that because I also have a grid skipper god roll.
And I got my god rolled Iota Draconis finally.
Okay, I don't have
that. Took me 7 weeks. I got extended barrel, stability masterwork, liquid coils under pressure, high impact reserves. And you know what's really amazing? Is that it was one of the double, it was one of the tier three focuses. So it has dual perks, right? And it dropped. And the preview showed both of the traits were not traits that I wanted. And I was deleting it, like in the process of deleting it. I was like, oop, wait, that's a tier three. There's other options. And I inspected it, and both of the other options were under pressure and high impact reserves. And I was like, oh, baby.
Nice.
And sure enough, it's fantastic. It's everything that I dreamed it would be. Three nice. Bolts for days. It does 66 damage base with two bolts or with two shots in the mag. And it does, I want to say 68 damage with one shot, which means it's basically just like a guaranteed three bolt against anyone with room to spare for range. So it's fantastic.
Well, I'm totally very happy for you. Now we're just bragging about our roles. So I think that is the time that we say thank you so much to everyone who tuned in and listened to this episode of Destiny Massive Breakdowns. We'll see you next week.
And thanks to Adamstown Boy, who has actually been collecting the roles from our episodes and putting them into Voltron for use and dim and everything like that. So Destiny Item Manager. So if you see Massive Breakdown roles recommended in Destiny Item Manager, it's because of him. Not because of us. I do not have the time to do that. So I know that it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Just how I know I don't have the time to do it. But I'm very, very grateful to him.
I looked at how much time that took, and I decided that I was not going to do it because that is more dedication than I have to that side of things. So thank you so much, Adamstown Boy. That's awesome.
All right, guys. And we'll see you next week. Next week, we got season 3 of Rebels on Beneath Twin Suns, and we got the rest of the prophecy weapons, excluding Darkest Below. So look forward to that, and we'll see you then. Bye.
All right. Peace.